Welcome back to the Broke But Woke podcast. I'm your host, Maciel Nunez, and honestly, I'm actually right now up editing the episode you're about to listen to. I just wanted to hop in here and let you guys know that the audio might not be 100% yummy, delish, chef's kiss, scrumdilly-umtastically, fantabulicious, but keep in mind, guys, me and Jenny recorded this episode at like 1 or 2 in the morning. Her kid's like lullaby was playing in the background. We recorded it in the kitchen. We weren't prepared for this episode per se. It was honestly a very spontaneous episode. I happened to have my microphone and we tried to work around the background noise. So just keep that in mind. Nonetheless, I think this was a great episode, a great conversation with Jenny. So I really hope you guys enjoy it. But I just wanted to hop in here and give you guys that disclaimer because, you know, y'all know I care about the audio of this podcast. Anyways, love you guys. Blessings. And let's hop into this episode.
Back to the Broke But Woke podcast. I'm your favorite broke host,
Maciel Nunez, and I am sitting down with my best friend,
Jenny.
From the block.
Jenny from the
block. This episode, we are going to talk about Jenny's journey into motherhood, her success as a mother. Let me just boost my best friend a little bit. So, Jenny, we have an episode, I think it was like my second or third episode that we did together, and I'm pretty sure if you want to learn about how me and Jenny met, you guys can go check that episode out just so it's not repetitive. Long story short, I met Jenny at one of my first jobs at Cinnabon. We became best friends after a while of working together. And Jenny, how old are you when you got pregnant?
I think I was like 18.
It was like, what, our second or third semester of college?
Yeah, like our second, third.
Okay. And something I always say about Jenny is we went through our firsts of everything together. You know, our first boyfriends, our first dates, our first prom, our high school graduations, and getting into college. We did our first semester of college, and we had a class together, a sociology class together. So we've been through a lot of firsts, and so obviously something as big as pregnancy, that was a huge transformation, not only like in the friendship, but in her life. So I've seen her like turn into the woman she is today, and she makes me so proud. I don't like want to look you in your eyes because I'm gonna cry if I talk about it, but you make me so proud. And you know, she had every reason to give up if she wanted to. You know, she'll talk about it more, but she's lost friends. She's felt like she doesn't have the support of her family when she was pregnant, or you know, being a young mom isn't easy, and there's a stigma around being a young mom, but she had every reason to just give up or take a different route. And meanwhile, homegirl over here, she worked her butt off. She continued to go to school while she was pregnant. She graduated. I'm like skipping a whole bunch of stuff. She gave birth, went back to school, busted her butt, not only at one job, but multiple jobs. You know, she got her own place, and now she's a homeowner. And Adrian's now, her son is Adrian, and he's 4 years old, and she's an amazing mom to him. She's raised an amazing young boy alongside her boyfriend is Brian, and he has another daughter named Allison. So she's also a stepmom. She does it all. She's amazing. And she just graduated with her bachelor's, and now she's pursuing more education. Like, she is a queen. She does it all. And so for anybody out there who's listening who maybe found themselves in a situation where they're pregnant, they're young, and they're feeling like the world crashing on them, I really hope you continue to listen to this episode because Jenny, she's just proof that anything is possible and that getting pregnant doesn't have to be a stop to any of your dreams or goals. So, hi, Jenny.
Hi. Well, thank you for boosting me.
Lots of boost.
I love you. I feel like you give me more credit than I give myself sometimes because I kind of just feel like, I don't know, like I don't take those accomplishments as serious as you do or other people do, and I really appreciate that. But yeah, what I like the most is like when people reach out to me, and whether it's like on Instagram stuff, I've had like sometimes girls that I don't know, and sometimes they're not even moms, But I think seeing that I'm a mom and that I'm doing things that they like to do, kind of like inspires them. Because I like when they ask me questions about like, oh, how did you do this? And then I love like explaining that stuff because I do want to help people. And I told somebody before, like, I will help you because like nobody ever helped me. And not because like they didn't want to. Like, first, I didn't really have anybody to help me. Nobody that had been through like what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Like being a college student, being pregnant, and you know, in my career field, like knowing how to get certifications and how to apply for stuff. So whenever like people that I don't know or do know, like reach out to me, whether they're moms or not, that just makes me happy because I like to help people because I know what it's like to feel like you don't know what you're doing and to learn through trial and error. And I encourage people to learn through trial and error, but you know, if you never ask questions, then, you know, you don't get help. But I just never had somebody to ask.
Did you, like, hopefully people that listen to this can reach out to you or feel comfortable enough to do that? Because I know you are willing to answer them. So you say you had nobody. Did you ever reach out to anybody? Or did you not feel like?
I honestly didn't think about it at the time. Like, I can't really think of anybody that was kind of like doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Or maybe I didn't even know what I wanted to do. So that's part of it. Like I started going one route and then I kind of changed it. And part of that was really just like, what's the better option? It was really never what I wanted to do. It was kind of like what benefits me the most.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked to Marcel about that. Like my college career, I wanted to go into early childhood, but the way Gwinnett and, Georgia Gwinnett College is set up, you have to do internships and you have to not work during those final years. So by switching my major to special education, I was able to work and go to school at the same time in my field already. So that was kind of like the best option for me because I did have a child to take care of. And, you know, my partner, he couldn't do it on his own. So I knew I had to pull my own weight and I was not going to drop school. So I had to make a decision and it wasn't necessarily the route that I thought I wanted to take, but I always tell myself like God does things in mysterious ways because you're always going to end up where you're supposed to be. So I ended up falling in love with special education and so many things happened throughout college that were like, I thought were not in my favor, but it ended up putting me exactly where I was supposed to be. So,
and what would you say to somebody, of course, depending on the resources you have, but if you have the opportunity to pursue an education, so you do think it's possible if you find yourself in a situation where you're pregnant or, you know,
it's definitely possible. Like I said, like you guys give me a lot of credit, but like I've told you guys in the past, I had a lot of help. Like, thankfully, like I had grants. Like I did pay out of pocket like a few times just because, again, I didn't know a lot about FAFSA or how that works. And I missed a deadline, had to pay out of pocket. So I found myself in those situations through trial and error. But I also had to sacrifice a lot of time. Like I had to take night classes and weekend classes a majority of the time because I had to work all day.
I want to backtrack a little bit and just to tell your complete story, like from the moment you got pregnant. So me and Jenny both came from strict parents. and that's actually something we bonded over is the fact that we both wanted to have fun, but we had strict parents. So take me back to, if you feel comfortable talking about it, when you found out you were pregnant, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this if they're finding themselves in this situation, what thoughts were running through your mind at that moment? And like, take me back to that situation.
So I did grow up in like a strict household. My mom was a single parent. So looking back on it now, I see where she was coming from. And I know, obviously, now raising my own child, that she only wanted the best for me.
But at that time, I did feel like I wanted more freedom, and I didn't get that freedom. Right, so I did want the freedom, and I thought I could, you know, make my own decisions because I was getting older. But I didn't know, like, I was going to end up growing up so quickly. But I felt like, in a sense, I always had to kind of grow up fast because, you know, they say that about children of immigrants. Like, you have to figure stuff out for your parents. And my mom, being a single mom, also, like, kind of had, and I was the oldest, I had to, you know, take care of the household a little bit. You know, I praise her. She did most of the work. She did everything for us. We never went without anything. So I think that's why she thought, like, we should be more grateful to her, which I am. But, you know, at that time, you know, when you're young, you don't really show it or see it how your parents see it. Mm-hmm. So when I found out I was pregnant, I knew it was going to be, like, I had to take a step forward and I was going to be on my own. And not because necessarily my mom pushed me to be on my own, because I felt like, you know, if you're Hispanic, you know, your mom, majority of moms will say, will give you that speech like, oh, well, if you end up pregnant, then, you know, you're on your own and such, which is true. You do end up being on your own no matter how much support you have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to figure your stuff out yourself because you're a parent now. And especially when your parents are not from here, they don't know everything. You have to do your own research and things like that. But like I was saying, even though she gave me, you know, that whole speech to prevent stuff like that from happening, I knew I was going to have to do it on my own and be independent. Because I feel like now, looking back, even though my mom was feeling some type of way, she probably would have felt more comfortable if I was under her roof and she was guiding me through motherhood, even though if it hurt her at first, I felt like she would have wanted to be the one to guide me through there because she still saw me as her child. So I felt like she would have liked me to stay with her, but I decided that I was going to do it independently and I wanted to do it alone.
Do you feel like a part of that was kind of like to prove something? Not out of spite, but kind of prove like, okay, I got myself in this situation, but I can survive it in a way?
I think so. I think it was a little bit to prove a point because I feel like sometimes your parents feel like you have to depend on them, and you know, you've depended on them for so long, so it's just a quick transition, I think, from being dependent to independent so quickly. So I think that's where like the hurt comes in and the not knowing for mother and daughter. But I feel like I definitely did want to prove a point because of maybe that speech that's like, okay, I know you're not obligated to help me, so I'm going to take kind of like I'm going to take the burden off of you.
Yeah.
And that, I felt like that's what I was doing. I didn't do it like to hurt her or anything. And at the time, like, you know, she wasn't welcoming. But like I said, looking back on it now, I felt like she would have wanted to help me manage that time in my life, but it just didn't work out that way at the time. Like, the emotions were just so high. So I'm kind of glad it worked out the way it did, because I'd probably still be under my mom's roof and living with my mom to this day, because she's always been very, like, what's the word? Like, she's always gave us so much security. Like, she feels like we have to depend on her, and she is all we have, but I'm trying to make myself more independent now that I do have my own child and, like you said, make a point.
Right. And even now, would you say after, I'm going to get back to, you know, moments of when you were pregnant, but now do you feel like you and your mom were closer even after Adrian? And do you think Adrian's a big part of that?
I do feel like we're closer now.
Especially since maybe you guys can relate now on both being moms.
Do you feel like that plays a role?
Yeah, because she kind of shares her past experiences when I'm living through it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go through something with Adrian, and then she'll tell me her experience of how it was with her and me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of funny how those are the moments that I'm like, wow, like this is really like a generation, like a next generation type thing. Because sometimes I just feel like we're like kind of like friends almost.
Aww. That makes me happy.
Like, not necessarily like mother-daughter sometimes.
Like, I feel like you kind of took that transition from, I mean, obviously you're still her daughter, but now it's like I can talk to you about things that maybe in the past I couldn't talk.
We relate a little bit
more.
Yeah, I get what you're saying now. Because before, like, we didn't really see eye to eye, but now that, you know, we share similar things. Like, I'm a homeowner now. She's a homeowner. Like, I have my own stuff together. And, you know, she always has. So we relate about things like that. About, you know, I'm just trying to be, like, the woman she is. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what makes our bond stronger. Because, you know, she sees that I'm doing good. So we can relate to each other on those milestones.
Okay. And I want to go back to you and your pregnancy journey. What are some, besides the, you know, you moving out of your mom's house and growing up so quickly, what are other challenges? I know we talked about losing friends and even like emotions or pain levels, things that you don't expect or nobody can really warn you about until you experience it yourself. But what was your experience like up until the point of having Adrian, and even like dealing with school, like balancing everything? Talk about that a little bit.
So it's scary. Like, you go through a lot of like first experiences, and I was telling Maceo, it's just like a lot of stuff that like nobody, like we can, I think as young moms, if you are a young mom, you can relate, but it's not really something you just like talk about. It just kind of happens and you just kind of accept it. Like the stigma with being like, pregnant so young, people just kind of assume like, okay, like either this is like where you're gonna be at, you know, just raising children, or you're gonna do something else with your life. So it's either this or that. They're just kind of like watching you to see what your next step is gonna be, or they assume you have no goals or plans at all. And I actually had somebody say that to me, that I needed to drop out of school, that I just needed to work now, that I couldn't do both.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that was like right after I told my mom that, you know, I was pregnant. She was taking it kind of hard.
Did you consider it?
No, I just kind of got really pissed off at that person, and they didn't even know me too well. So I just kind of like brushed it off and was kind of like, you know, like, who are you? That's something probably like my mom, even at the time, would have never said to me,
right.
Because she would always want me to do the opposite, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think somebody with emotions heightened after, you know, when you're pregnant, that it could be easy for somebody to let commentary like that get to them? Like, you're a very strong person, and not to say another person isn't, but do you think it could be easy for somebody to actually take that commentary and roll with it?
That's interesting you say that, because I didn't think about that before, but I believe that could definitely happen, like, because, you know, people suffer through depression even during pregnancy, so I can only imagine, like, you having all these goals and, you know, dreams and plans,
right.
And then finding out you're pregnant, and then people are, like,
bringing you down,
right. And then you start to believe it, and then, you know, it's not easy. So you have to have a lot of like determination and a lot of support. And if you don't have that, I can see how, you know, you don't end up following through. And I mean, that's understandable. But again, that's where, if you don't, you know, keep going, that's where people look at you like, oh, you know, that's all they did, or they only got to there, or, you know, having a child stop them. So whether you do or you don't, I think it's just to each his own. Like, it's not easy until you're in that position. Right. Like I was saying, like, you will never know what it's like until you're in that position.
Right. That's so scary.
It is scary because...
It sounds scary. I'm not a mom, FYI. But...
Because you have to accept all that. You have to accept those, what's the word, like the judgment. You have to accept the
criticism.
Stigma,
yeah.
The criticism, and things like that off the bat. Like, you just have to swallow it.
Mothers are so strong, dude.
Yeah.
Because it makes you think, too, just even with that, how many people that maybe rolled with the criticism and chose a different route that maybe isn't, you know, looked at highly in society, but it's all because people were bringing them down, you know? And if they would have had a strong support team or even just had a different personality, which they can't control, they might have found themselves in a different situation, which is, like, really sad. Yeah, that's deep and dark. But... Okay, so let's talk about, with all that, how do you think, or what advice could you give to somebody who's trying to balance it all, who wants to, despite the criticism, still pursue their goals, go to school? What helped you stay balanced? Or do you think there's never really a point you feel balanced, you kind of just figure it out?
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, I was just trying to figure it out each step. Like I said, there was so many, like, things that happened to me during my college career that I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's just obstacle over obstacle over obstacle, and it was, like, never ending, but, you know, nothing in life comes easy, so if it weren't for those obstacles, like I said, I wouldn't be where I am right now. I would just say, like, figure it out step by step, like, have a plan, because there were so many things that I thought I wanted to do. But every time I got a step further, I saw something better and something that benefited me more. And not just me, but, like, me and my child. That's what I always thought of. So whether it was like, okay, well, I'm going to get a certification in this, and how is this going to help me make more money and get a position in such and such that I will gain experience and someday, like, work in this field. So it's just kind of like, planning things out on your main goal. And then if obstacles come along the way, you have to make that decision quickly. Like, what's going to benefit me more? Like, which route am I going to take? And I never regret anything, any decisions that I made, because, like I said, I felt like it took me where I needed to be.
Right. And with planning and everything, I want to kind of lead into the actual birth of Adrian. What are some things now that you know that you wish you would have known beforehand, or maybe even if later down the road you have a kid, that a young mom can do to prepare, whether it's like financial assistance or even just things to prepare in the home if you have that available? Because I'm sure if you're a young mom, resources are harder to get, if that makes sense.
So kind of to stray away from that, but like related to that, something that I don't think a lot of people know, or like my family really knows, when I found out I was pregnant, I obviously took a pregnancy test, but one of the first places I went to was a free clinic.
Okay.
So there is when, like, I found out, you know, officially that I was pregnant, and they had a lot of resources and, you know, talk to me about options. The only option I ever had in mind, you know, was having my child, but they definitely talk to you about options, and there's, you know, places out there that can help you. You just have to, you know, do the research. And like I said, I came from a strict home, so I did that on my own. And when I was able to apply for financial assistance,
what kind of financial assistance is that?
So it's like Medicaid.
Okay.
So when you officially get the letter that you're pregnant, I believe.
You get a letter when you're pregnant?
That says that, from the doctor that says you're pregnant.
I didn't know this.
I believe.
Okay.
I went through this, but my memory is horrible, so.
Okay. Like, they mail you a letter?
Like, when you go to the doctor, they will give you a letter saying that you're pregnant. So I believe you turn that letter into Medicaid, from what I remember. And obviously, like, some pay stubs and your living situation, and you fill out all that information, and then you can qualify. which, by the way, is one of, you know, the privileges that I've had. Like I said, I accomplished a lot, but I also did it with a lot of help. So like financial assistance, you know, my support system and things like that. So I never, you know, want to take away from that, because that obviously did help. And a lot of moms don't have that advantage. But I did get Medicaid, and then I was able to go to OBGYN. So that was little to nothing. It costs little to nothing once you do get it. And then once you have your baby, then your baby automatically gets it, I believe, for like a year or more. For their like first checkups and doctor visits and things like that. But you have to keep qualifying. I believe it's each year. So that was stuff I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn, and through trial and error. And I forgot what your question was.
I mean, that kind of answered part of it, like what kind of information, I mean, even though you did find it for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but that kind of does answer it, because some people may not even know. I didn't know. Like, I really genuinely didn't know that.
Exactly. Like things like that, that I didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you have a baby, it's expensive, but you know, thankfully, because I had that insurance, I didn't have to pay anything, because the medical system is a scam.
Mm-hmm. That could be like its own episode, dude. Like, legit. Say, so for somebody who, you know, I think that's one of the, there's a lot of probably concerns when somebody's young and finds out they're pregnant, whether it's, you know, being scared of what your family, peers, friends, people are going to think. Big one being, what am I going to do financially? So do you think the ultimate answer is there is a way around, like, getting
assistance? Yes, I actually always think about that, you know, like, especially, like, when, you know, someone has a child and then they get pregnant again,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, they don't know what to do. I just believe, like, that's how I felt, too. Like, how am I gonna, you know, take care of, you look at your checks now and you're like, how can I take care of a whole child? Like, kids are expensive. But literally, like, you'll just always find a way. Obviously, there's families who go through like poverty and stuff with their children.
For sure.
But that's how I felt at one point. Like, looking at my, how much I was making, like, how much was I making? Like $9 an hour at one job, and then maybe a little bit more, the same at another. So how did I survive off that? I don't know. I did have support. Like I said, I wasn't living on my own yet, but I did get up to that point. So it's definitely possible. Like, I know everybody wants to give their child the best life. So maybe you're like thinking about like, I don't know if I can support my child and give them the best life under my circumstances. But I truly believe there's always a way. Like, there's resources out there, if you don't have a support system. And if you do have a support system, then that's even better, because, you know, at least you're not going through it alone.
You're so inspirational, dude. I want to get emotional, but it's just like, it's crazy because I think about like, I don't have a kid and I don't have a home, and I'm over here like trying to figure out my financials, but like, you are the epitome of, you're going to make stuff happen. You know what I mean? Like, you you genuinely, and I don't mean to say this to be corny, but you could have just gone any other route and you looked it up yourself. Like, you figured it out. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. Like, you figured everything out on your own. And I just, wow. She's superwoman, you guys. That's like pretty much the premise of this episode, is she's superwoman. And anybody out there who's scared in their situation, like, you have it in you too. Because I'm sure if you look back and thought about who you were like maybe 6-7 years ago, would you have ever imagined yourself in this position at this age?
No, like, I knew I wanted to get there.
Right.
But it just felt like forever, like graduating late, and you know, I wanted to get a home, but I did not think I was in the position to buy a home. And that's like a whole other topic, because I do want to touch on that, like, same as like when you're pregnant and you want to achieve stuff, but you're not sure. You have to, like, reach out. You have to talk to people. You have to look it up if you want it that bad. Because, like I said, I didn't think I was in a position to buy a home, but I reached out and I got informed. And then I realized that I was not far off than I thought.
So that's another thing, like, not only, like, through about education, do, like, sometimes people message me, but also about, like, buying homes, and, like, close people that I know have asked me about the process as well. And I'm just like, if I can do it, like, trust me, like, I could do it. And I thought I had, like, not enough savings. I thought, like, you know, my jobs didn't pay as much. And because I was in school, so I couldn't work as much, and I couldn't really get a good high paying job, because for those, you need to work a lot of hours and have a lot of responsibilities. But my jobs needed to be flexible, and it needed to be part time because of school. So that's why I was saying, if I could do it, like, trying to get the bare minimum, like, check all my boxes with the bare minimum, then, you know, I believe other people can do it, especially, like, if you don't have kids and, you know, you have a great support system, or even if you don't, if you want it bad enough and look up resources and get informed, then you can definitely do it.
I wanted to talk about, birth of Adrian. What don't they tell you about labor, and what were you thinking when your water broke? How those emotions? Of course, everything is case by case scenario. Nobody's story is probably the same, but I want to hear your story.
So, I was just having this conversation with my friend because she's about to give birth next month, and I told her it's kind of more scary for her because she already has a child and she knows what it feels like. So going at it a second time, it's kind of like, you know what to expect. So it's even more nerve-wracking because you know exactly what pregnancy pains feel like. Like before you go into pregnancy, you don't know what pregnancy pains feel like. So you're scared, but you don't know what it feels like. So it's really kind of like you're scared of nothing. But after you experience it, it's like you know what you're afraid of. So I give her props because I'd be terrified. But I was telling Masia one time that I get a lot of, like, again, credit because my pregnancy was very quick and easy.
And natural.
Like, natural meaning, like, no epidural. And for the most part, like, it was very painful through contractions, but for the most part, not that painful because I, like, it was bearable. But my labor, again, my labor was quick. So I believe if my labor was long, there's no way in hell I would have lasted that long. You know, because females who have hour-long labors, I probably would have asked for something too, because
I'm glad you say that, because I feel like a lot of people feel bad about asking for an epidural, or, you know.
And I just thought about that recently because I'm like, you know, people call me like, oh, you're so strong because you didn't need it, but I'm like, my labor was, well, I forgot what labor actually means. I think it's like when I was, people always get confused about that, and I do too, like when you actually it was only maybe like an hour or two. Like, I got into the hospital like around 10, and then I had Adrian like at 12:50, and I didn't push for that long either. So if it would have been hours, like,
you would have needed it.
Who would not be exhausted? Who would not need medication?
Is that like the worst pain you've ever felt in your life? And now that you have Adrian, you know what? What's that moment when you first see your baby?
So it's funny because I was just looking at him like,
what, like, do I do now?
Like, it's funny because I was looking at him and thinking in my head, like, I have to take you home. Like, exactly like that. I was looking at him like, I have to take you home now. Like, oh my God.
That's so
and
crazy.
It was weird because I thought it was gonna feel like different, but it really, like, it didn't. Maybe I'm just a numb person. Like, I don't feel anything with my, like, accomplishments, the birth of my child. I was just looking at him like, hi, like, I gotta take you home now.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. So Brian actually cried.
I didn't know that.
I didn't cry at all. So that's why I kind of feel, like, weird about it, because I was just like,
You just looked at him.
Yeah, no.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. Did your mom cry? Was she in the room with you?
She wasn't.
Oh, it was just you and Brian?
Me, Brian, and his mom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did she cry? I bet she was just excited.
Yeah,
she reminds me like the mom from Mean Girls with the cat.
She was.
She's literally
recording.
Her. Yeah, she's like,
recording.
Okay, you're doing great, sweet.
Yeah, she was just recording.
I
appreciate
totally
her
see
for
that.
Being there.
That's good.
My mom could not be in there. She was already crying when she was watching me having contractions.
Aww.
So I think
that's probably a good call then.
The emotions were too high for her because she didn't want to see me in pain, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me sad. I don't want to see you in pain. Like, I'm just getting really sad.
But I wasn't, like, screaming or anything. Like,
I
was
just
bearing.
Like,
I was just bearing down. And from what our friend Janice says, she was also visiting me in the room, that I was just kind of, like, bearing down with each contraction. I wasn't really flinching or anything. Like, so I wasn't like being dramatic, but she was the one being dramatic about it because she didn't want to see me in pain. I think she was trying to like touch me, and I was just kind of like, no, please. Like, just like, it was weird moments where like I wanted like to hold Brian's hand, but I didn't want him to touch me.
Okay.
It was like that type of thing. Like, a touch would annoy me, but like I wanted someone
right
there. So it was weird emotions, but yeah, I felt weird.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like different. Maybe people like hype it up a little bit. At least I didn't feel different. I definitely felt happy, you know, and like in awe. Because I was just like, oh my gosh, like he's
pretty
big and he was inside of me. And it's just weird feeling. We didn't have his name yet.
How long did you wait till you had a name? Because I think that we visited you
we had
that
a
night
couple
and the
names.
Next.
And then we didn't have a name up until like it was ready.
Jaden was an option. I think that was like right in the beginning, like even beforehand, that was like a name you had in mind. But
yeah, I already had that name in mind a long time ago, but Brian never liked it, so it kind of wasn't an option. But I still threw it in there a couple times. But we had like a couple names. We didn't really have a lot of boy names. We had girl names, but no boy names.
Mm-hmm.
And we originally wanted a boy. So
mm-hmm.
It was just hard to decide. But we just kind of decided that we would wait till we saw him to pick his name.
Oh.
And I kind of asked Brian, like, when as soon as he came out.
What,
like,
does he look like?
Yeah, what does he look like? And then he just looked at me and he was like, Adrian. And I just, like, shook my head. Yeah, so. But my mom will always take credit that she gave him. She picked
Did
his
she?
Name. I don't
You're
remember.
Like, I don't recall.
Honestly, I don't recall.
That's funny.
She might have, but.
Okay.
We had the final say.
And did you have any, like, postpartum depression? Did you ever experience that? Or, like, maybe symptoms similar? I don't know. Like, what was that after?
I feel like I did. Like, because I had to look it up. So I feel like I did feel different in some way because it was, like, still, like, Adrian was already, like, 6 months or, like, maybe four, and I just knew, like, I felt different.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up, and I believe, like, you can, you know, your hormones are still out of whack even, like, 4 months after. And I'm sure, especially if you're still breastfeeding, which I didn't breastfeed for that long, but I still felt different. I don't want to say, like, postpartum depression because it never got that bad. So I don't think I ever experienced that, but your hormones definitely are out of whack and you're like a little bit more sensitive about things, like same as like when you're pregnant, I believe. So,
okay. So after, you know, you had Adrian and he was growing up, how did you handle people trying to tell you how to raise Adrian? And do you have any advice for that? Cause I'm sure you had, I feel like that's something a lot of moms go through, is like people trying to tell them how to raise their kid. Meanwhile, it's like, how do you balance trying to take advice but still raising your kid the way you want to?
So I definitely had little comments here and there, not like how to raise my kid, but like, you know, when other people who are obviously older and who have had kids before,
mm-hmm.
try to give you like little tips, like, oh, you should do this. Like if they're fighting a cold, like, oh, you need to do this. Or it's raining outside. Oh, you need to cover their feet, or I don't know, just random things like that. I try to take it, what do they say?
Like
a
grain
of salt. Yes. So I definitely respect and know it's coming out of a place
of love,
yes. At least from the people that, you know, have said those things to me, because I know they want like what's best for him. So I appreciate that. But it's also, I think for every mom, it's just like the most annoying thing. Like, no matter who it is, it will be annoying.
Yeah.
So it's just like a nerve that you, I feel like every mom has it when somebody tries to tell you.
Do you feel like it's because it's kind of like attacking your own ability to make decisions for your kid?
Yeah, I think so. It's because it kind of feels like you don't know, so I'm going to tell you. Right. Which you don't know everything, but that's why I say I think it's just a nerve that it hits that you can't explain. I think every mom has it. Like, even if it's a good tip,
right?
It's just, it hits a nerve, and I don't know why. But like I said, I know it's never been like a rude comment or anything like that. But I like try to take it with a grain of salt. I just kind of like nod my head and I'm just like, okay, you know, at the end of the day, and I do what I want to do, you know? I know some people do struggle with that in like their family and stuff. And I can't even imagine things like that. But yeah, I would just say some people will, you know, talk back and, you know, say, don't tell me how to raise my kid and get really defensive. But if you're not like that, then I would just say take it with a grain of salt and just, like, accept what they have to say, but you don't necessarily have to follow it.
Mm-hmm. And what has been the most rewarding part of being a parent?
I would say the most rewarding part of being a parent is something corny, like watching them grow or something. Like, just when your kid just accomplishes stuff and you're, like, responsible for getting them there.
Do you feel like their biggest fan?
Yeah. I feel like when Adrian, like, accomplishes stuff, I just kind of feel like I worked my butt off for that, and it's like my reward.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing that he was able to, you know, do that.
Yeah. And are you scared of, because you're still learning every single day, like it doesn't come with a manual. Are you scared of what it's going to be like when he's older and a teenager? And
I'm terrified because I feel like me and his dad were such like bad kids.
Rebellious kids.
In his parents' eyes, he wasn't necessarily bad. In my mom's eyes, I was rebellious, but we were very naughty. So I'm scared that he's going to be like us, basically. But I know that, like, my family and Brian's family are, like, completely different. Like,
they
had all the freedom, and I had none of it. So I hope we can find a happy medium, because that's kind of, like, things that we talk about now and we argue about now. And we contemplate, like, oh, are we going to let him go over to sleep over at people's houses? And I'm like, absolutely not.
Do you think that's important, like, for somebody who's
in a relationship?
Yeah, to discuss those things, you know, how do you plan to parent with your, you know?
I do think it's important, but I don't necessarily feel like
it's a deal breaker.
Should be a deal breaker, because, like, you won't know until you start parenting what, like, your real decision is going to be, because it's a scary world, and, you know, I wanted to go sleep over at my friend's house, and I didn't understand it when I was a kid. And I'm happy I didn't, because, you know, my mom tried to protect me as much as she could. And I'm glad that she protected me instead of, I know many children live in families where they're not protected enough. And, you know, unfortunate things happen to them. So I hope we can find a happy medium when he's older, like try to give him the freedom. And obviously we're Gen Z. Actually, Brian is a millennial.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's 1986.
Five.
Dang.
So, we're cool parents. Like, we know what goes on. Like, our parents really just assume the worst.
Very traditional, very old school.
And, I mean, I'm going to assume the worst because I know what goes on. Mm-hmm. But
did your mom ever think you were going to be, like, stricter than her? So my mom says that now. She's like, you're going to be even more strict than
she you. She doesn't say that, but she's like, when I try to be, obviously, grandparents, when I right. try to be strict, she like spoils me.
Oh, grandma.
So it's like, I don't see her, I maybe see her saying that in the future, like, you're too strict or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I see a change in her now, like with my sister, she's not as strict, so.
Okay. And is there anything else you want to talk about, like, that you think could benefit a young mom or a young parent? Because I guess it's scary for both the mom, dad, mom, and mom. So many different situations, young dad.
So, like I said, I had a lot of support and very privileged to have, like, the access to the resources I did have. But I just feel like there's always a way. And if you want something bad enough, then, you know, get informed and look for resources and reach out to people that, you know, are going through the same thing you're going through. Like I said, at the time, I didn't really see anybody like doing what I wanted to do. And at the time, I didn't know what I wanted to do either. But, you know, I found myself in situations and try to make the best of it. So I would just say take it one step at a time and figure out your priorities and then what's going to benefit you the most.
Well, thank you, Jenny. I hope that anybody who's listening to this, feel free, like, they can reach out to you, mm-hmm. right? Jenny is she gives great advice. And I think why she gives so, like, good advice is because she's very empathetic. I think she really does care about, like, even, like, other people's children. And she does it for the babies. And she's been in situations, obviously, that are harder. So she can relate, I think, to anybody's situation in one way or another. Because you've played the student role. You've played the multiple job role. The being with your boyfriend, being not with you. Like, you've been through a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people can benefit from reaching out to you for advice. So definitely reach out to her. What's your Instagram handle? Or where can people reach you or email you, whatever you prefer?
I think it's jennifer.jimenezxo. Can you look it up?
Yeah.
Or Jennifer.
Let's see. She's Jenny from the Black. Jennifer. Yes, jennifer.jimenez.xo, and I'll make sure to tag her when I post this and promote it on our Instagram. But definitely reach out to her. I think this is a really good conversation, girl. We hit like an hour.
I honestly feel like I rambled and it wasn't.
No, that was awesome. No, that was actually I feel like if I was in a situation like that, like you said, sometimes people feel like they don't, or even you said, like, you didn't have somebody to give you all the answers. Not necessarily that this was like a whole manual, but I know it's going to help somebody.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's going to benefit somebody. And I really like this conversation. Like, I know somebody out there is going to listen to this and smile and be like, she's cool. She's a cool mom. But yes, thank you so much, Jenny, for sitting down with me at now 2 in the morning. And I hope you guys will leave us a review for this week's episode. Make sure to follow us, Broke Bull Podcast, on Instagram. Follow us on either Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and I will catch you guys next week. Thank you. You want to say bye?
Bye, guys.
Bye.